Today on The Keenest Observers, I get to talk about some work that I think is pretty cool. Sunday, October 8th, my other employer, the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, will be presenting a participatory theater piece entitled Take Them Into the Dirt, an Immersion. The piece engages participants, yes, participants, not audience, we'll talk about that in a second, to think about their personal concepts of legacy and identity through the lens of non-Western storytelling, then talk about it. The program is a part of the OSF Living Ideas Art and Community Dialogue series and prompts a larger question. Is there a role that art and storytelling can play to inform the political discourse of the day? Can storytelling bridge the gap between people? Oregon Shakespeare Festival literary director and collaborator of Into the Dirt, I'm Ritha Ramanan, and I will talk about participatory theater and public art as a tool of information and discourse. Join the conversation today on The Keenest Observers. In the studio today, I'm joined by my friend and colleague, Oregon Shakespeare Festival Director of Literary Development. Amritha Ramanan, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And let me tell you a little bit about Amritha. She is a dramaturg, producer, and originator of community art initiatives. And at OSF, she is responsible for stewarding the season selection and play development process. Ms. Ramanan comes to the festival from Double Edge Theater in Ashfield, Massachusetts, where she served as the company's associate producer and dramaturg. She supported the company's mission of living culture with her work in community engagement, collaborative exchange, and cross-sector partnerships that focus and foster diversity, equity, and inclusion. She also served as an artistic associate and literary manager at Arena Stage in Washington, D.C. Thank you for being here, friend.
So happy to be here, friend.
So we've been developing over the last 10 months a participatory theater piece called Take Them Into the Dirt, an Immersion. And with your experience as a person who develops devised theater, tell me about what participatory theater means.
Yeah. First of all, can you believe it's been almost a year
Wow.
and we're almost there?
Yeah,
you
we're
know,
almost
it's
there. We're almost there.
Incredible the process of generating. Participatory theater is something that in many ways I feel has been innate to the way I was introduced to theater and theater practice. I was really fortunate as a child to encounter and engage with many traditional forms of South Indian theater, particularly Bharatanatyam, which is a dance drama style, and then Kathakali, which is a performative drama style. And both of those have such rich engagement with the audience. The audience and community are participants in the storytelling. There's really not a barrier or any form of a wall in terms of how audiences and engage in that way. And what I mean by that with participatory is that everyone who is part of the experience of the performance is a member of the storytelling. They can be, you know, directly involved with the storytelling. They can help fuel the storytelling. They can help build the performance forward, or they can just be asked to, you know, to talk, to react, to engage in a particular way that really speaks to the modality of how we create art together. And with that, you know, I've also done some really extraordinary work with Double Edge Theater in Ashfield, Mass, as you mentioned, that has a great model where they connect and engage with artisans. Double Edge is in a farming community in Western Massachusetts, so they include community members and artisans in the building of the performance, as well as the interaction and engagement once you're in the performance. So it really goes from, you know, development to performance altogether.
And we'll get into that, because
we'll get
we
into
took
that,
some of
yeah.
those kind of skills to develop dirt as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, but I mean, I think just to synthesize it, to me, participatory theater is a way in which there isn't necessarily, you know, the division between, you know, the spectator and the performer, that you actually have inclusion in terms of the people, the community, those who are experiencing the performance being a part of it in a very direct way.
Beautiful. So let me ask this, because I know this always becomes, you know, a question, you know, in your bio, and I've named this, you know, kind of like really like, you know, eclectic word and title for your work. What is a dramaturg?
Oh, yes. I get that all the time, but I love responding to it. And I think every dramaturg has a different response, which is also great. You know, for me, a dramaturg is everything from a steward, advocate, cheerleader, supporter to the development of artistic work. And within that, my dear friend, dramaturg Julie Dubner, often says that a dramaturg is responsible responsible for the three C's, which I really love, where it's context, concept, and content. And so as a dramaturg, I feel like our job is to support, you know, the context of what is the world of the story that we're telling, what how do we need to build that, you know, what's the way in which, especially for new plays that are finding their legs, we help with the development of the script and really support the writers in that generative process, and then how do we communicate and bridge that contextualization to an audience. So I feel like it's that kind of three-step process, and it's interesting because there's definitely parallels between, you know, I work in Shakespeare, I work in new plays, I do contemporary, you know, contemporary work that's not necessarily in a stage of, you know, full script development, but still is, you know, being explored within our current, you know, setting. And all of that to me, while there are certain variances in terms of how you deal with the script, it all still lands on those three C's.
Right. So like for folks who may not know, part of the process in putting up the performing arts, and be it theater and sometimes even dance pieces as well as multidisciplinary pieces, is a workshop and development portion. It's just not taking the script that you may get, but it may be taking the script, seeing how it lands, and it can land and have context within a particular setting and organization specifically, and then seeing how best to serve it out into the world. Mm-hmm. And so dramaturgs do that from a production to production standpoint, and then someone who has the position like Amrutha stewards the overall organizational development and stewardship of these pieces, you know, for public consumption. So that there's a process before the process of rehearsal that is a huge piece. And the reason why, quite honestly, you had a great role in Take Them Into the Dirt and its development, which we'll talk about as we continue the program and move forward. But I'm really interested in, you know, you telling your story and your idea how Into the Dirt came into being from your point of view. I know I have it from an ideation point of view, but I look forward to hearing how you see the founding of Dirt. And we'll get back with that on the other side of the break. And if you're just joining us, I'm Robert Goodwin. My guest is Amrutha Ramanan. And we're talking about the Oregon Shakespeare Festival's participatory project, Take Them Into the Dirt, and the role of storytelling in communities. Stay with us, but first a short break. Welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Robert Goodwin, and we're talking about the role of art in communities and the Oregon Shakespeare Festival participatory theater piece, Take Them Into the Dirt. You're welcome to join this conversation. Call us at 800-838-3760 or email comments and questions to jx@jeffnet.org. I'm going to tell you with my friend Amrutha Ramanan the story of Into the Dirt and how it was developed. But I have a question for you as well, my listening audience. Just chew on this while we're talking and telling you a little bit about Dirt. Do you find value in storytelling as a means of understanding, you know, groups of people that you may not know or your own points of view? Think about that and we'll come back. I'd love to hear some responses just in terms of what you think about storytelling and the role of discourse between people and communities. Is there a reason to have discourse in storytelling? We'll chew on that in a second. But let's talk about Take Them Into the Dirt and immersion and how it came to be. What's your version?
Oh, yeah. Well, what I love about this is there's always multiple narratives for everything, right? Like, that's part of dramaturgy, too, where we all have a story. So let's see. My version, I remember it was last year about this time. And I had just started working with the festival. I joined at the beginning of August. And Rob, you and I had started to connect about living ideas in particular, about art and community dialogue, and about the generative process around engagement. And so I think, if I remember correctly, we started with just, you know, a couple meetings where I believe you introduced me the idea of creating an immersive performative piece that's participatory, that involved and enveloped different thematic resonances around some of our shows this year, particularly Henry Four Parts 1 and 2, Unison and Off the Rails, and how those pieces speak to the intersectional points of legacy and memory and identity. And then as we grouped together, we formed a working group that involved, you know, your staff, some of my team, some dramaturgs that that work at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, you know, some really great collaborators that I'm sure we'll talk about more.
Right, SOU professor here at Southern Oregon University, Andrew Gay, from the Digital and Video Program.
Absolutely, absolutely. A really beautiful team. And so we all started to, we started kind of on the platform of these thematic resonances with also the frame of indigenous and cultural storytelling. What's really beautiful for me about this group is I've always been very attracted to stories that are rooted in different forms of oral storytelling that are, you know, part of, you know, the indigenous cultures that, you know, for many of us, we come from. That's our roots. That's our origin. That's our foundation. And so, and mythology, really. I mean, just the intersectional points of mythology as a means to understand oneself. So we started these Saturday working sessions where we would generate ideas. And from there, we built a script. And from there, we started to build the concept of how this piece would look and how the audience would become participants and engaged with it. And like any wonderful generative process, you know, there's definitely been, you know, cycles of development. As Rob knows, you know, I threw in a, you know, a major curveball in the middle in terms of how to make it more participatory with, you know, the audience and community that comes to this bringing in a personal item that represents their legacy. And so that really shifted our narrative structure. We really worked, you know, very closely with Andrew, who's an amazing collaborator, around the development of technology as part of the piece, technology and multimedia, which I'm really excited about. So yeah, it's been, you know, it's definitely been a journey, but it, you know, started with those Saturday meetings that then kind of evolved into, you know, these work sessions. That's
right.
My story.
Right. No, that's a great, I think that's a great telling. I think that's a great retelling. And for further context, the Oregon Shakespeare Festival Living Ideas Art and Community Dialogue Series is a program that's in its infancy that has the goal to further connect to community outside of what's happening necessarily in the houses on the theater, but connect it to the work in the houses of the theater and extending beyond into, you know, local communities as well as, you know, the regional and national community. And so in doing that work, there is connection that we always draw from either in a thematic way or just in terms of plot to the work on stage and how that really applies to our day-to-day living. And so this participatory theater piece is a way for us to, like, look at legacy and how folks look about, you know, think about their own identity and legacy. So let's get to that context where this delve in a little deeper, quite honestly, so folks know what the heck we're talking about when we're saying, you know, that we're talking about a participatory theater piece. Because folks always want to know the story. Okay, here's the problem, folks. In order for us to tell you the story, we, like, take a huge piece of the, like, secret of the, of, like, the engagement. So when we say it's participatory, it means the second you walk to the door, the story begins and you're a part of it. And in the telling and the use of non-Western traditions, we use a couple of, like, spiritual archetypes and different mythological systems to take you through this exploration of legacy and what you think your personal legacy is and identity using an object that you bring. And so literally we have an amalgamation of Native American archetypes. We have Southern Asian archetypes. We have West African archetypes that we use to tell this story and for this kind of immersion. There's not a seat in the house.
Mm-hmm. And with that too, I mean, something that's really exciting is, it's theater that doesn't happen in front of you, it happens around you. And that's something that I feel has been really critical to, you know, my development as an artist, theater, where it kind of surprises you in terms of your perspective, your point of view, and how you enter the stage, and it's all around.
Right. It's purely in, like, it all around is a great way of putting it. It literally happens around you, but you have to engage with it.
Mm-hmm.
So when we say, you know, it is immersive and participatory, it's because you play a part in the development of the work. And hopefully then you learn, you know, something about yourself and other people in the process. And the cool thing about it is at the end, you have an opportunity to talk about it. There's mm-hmm. a small talk back after every engagement. This is October 8th, 2017, 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 7 o'clock at the Black Swan Theater on the campus of the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. We'll give you the logistics in terms of where you can call it the box office in a second. But I wanted to continue with the idea and the question that I asked the audience. I'd love to like kind of hear your idea about the role of storytelling as a means of engaging and exploring yourself and other people. But you've had an extensive amount of experience doing that, this kind of work in a couple of different kinds mm-hmm. of communities, in rural communities, just like, you know, the Rogue Valley in Massachusetts, as well as, you know, somewhat in big cities
mm-hmm.
Like
mm-hmm.
D.C. What's the resonance that you found, you know, in terms of how people engage in this work and what it means to them?
I feel it for me as an artist, it's always just that the core of why I want to do what I would do in terms of how to engage communities, how to support communities in the art being a reflective space for them to, you know, see themselves or learn something about each other. And, you know, at Double Edge, we were in a community, a town that was 2,000 in population. And so it was very intimate. It was especially the time that I was there, the community was really connected to the theater, the local community. And so I really felt like it was for the community, they saw it as a means of their own survival, honestly. I know that that's a very deep word to say, but I mean it. I mean, the theater did support the creative economy of the town. It supported people's, you know, creative well-being. It was something that felt holistic and whole all at once in terms of how people felt about the work there. So that was really incredible just to see a community that was truly revitalized by the theater. And what I give, you know, Double Edge consistent props for is the way they did it was through, you know, long-term engagement in generating the work. You know, the work would usually be generated over the period of 1 to 2 years before it was presented. It would be in tandem with community. Community was always a participant in dialogue with the company. Community was really listened to in a way that allowed them to feel like this relationship was mutual and reciprocal. There was an exchange. And particularly in rural communities, you know, what I found in Western Mass is that there was such an isolation in terms of the geography. So how to actually build something together and find that was so essential just for the livelihood of that community.
Do you see any parallels? I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Do you see any
parallels to this community in I guess in tandem?
Yeah, you know, this community I think has some parallels in that we are in a rural area of Southern Oregon, which I find really interesting. The population certainly in Ashland is larger, but still it is a small area. Similar to actually Western Massachusetts, there's a decent amount of tourism that comes in, but then also a local community. And so I definitely feel those parallels. But I will admit, you know, having been here for a year, I'm still really curious about what's the exact relationship that, you know, that art has with community. And that's why I'm excited for this piece, because I think it's going to teach us a lot about that in terms of, you know, how community really does dialogue with the art and how community participates in the art. And then, you know, I worked in India for some time, which was really beautiful, where I worked with a theater center that also did work that was, you know, considered site specific. It was in the environment. It was with community. So that, you know, that that build, I always feel like it's essential. And I think especially in a time, you know, in our country where, you know, rural and urban become so divisive, you know, I experienced, you know, community development work in D.C. as well. And I just feel like art could be a really fantastic platform for how we do engage and connect with each other.
Right. We're talking with Amritha Ramanan, and we're talking about Take Them Into the Dirt and Immersion, which is an OSF participatory theater piece. But even more, I think, substantively, we're talking about how people can engage and communities can engage to get to know each other, mm-hmm. and kind of inform, I guess, you know, humanization. I guess that's where we're headed.
Yeah.
Because I think it was very interesting. Like in the last thing that you said that it was the community in Asheville.
Yes, I did move from Asheville to Ashland. So.
it was a part of their survival.
Oh yeah.
And I think that's an interesting thing to mm-hmm. kind of mine. And I think you're headed that way, especially in this time when there, you know, are such a myriad of challenges. How art can do that, and the participation in art and mm-hmm. storytelling can be a part of survival.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think stories are what we hold on to. I mean, I think stories, you know, allow us to reflect on, you know, our past, present, and also give us an indication for what the future might be. I think it's, you know, I think that the spirit of collaboration is so essential in how we build community. And yeah, I mean, you know, I'm feeling politically that, you know, there's a sense of wanting to divide. So, you know, to me, art is such a great way to figure out how we actually find each other in these moments. And it also can, I think, unleash the unexpected, which has been really exciting for me as an artist, and then also being engaged with community, particularly through Double Edge, where I would constantly encounter people in the town who would become part of the process of Double Edge, but never could have imagined that they could participate in this way, or that they could experience a piece of theater that would change the way they think about, you know, their farmland, the way they think about, you know, their local business if they owned one. So that's what's so exciting to me, too, just the possibility of change, you know, that can be very personal, that can be societal, how art can really bring that. And it's great, you know, at OSF, we, you know, our artistic leadership, you know, Bill Rausch, and then, you know, Christopher Acebo, Allison Carey, Bill and Allison co-founded Cornerstone Theater, which is another really great model in terms of art and community intersection and dialogue. You know, Cornerstone's, you know, early expansion was really in touring to different rural communities and building performances together with those communities. So in many ways, what excites me, Rob, is I do feel like what we're doing with Take Them Into the Dirt is not only a very personal connection to the work that we believe in, but also does connect with the roots of our leadership at OSF. You know, this is a modality that has been forming in many different iterations throughout the country and throughout the world for, you know, centuries. It's been, you know, it's been kind of the or foundational form of how, you know, communities connect with one another.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited to see how that is actually going to take off here.
Yeah, I think, you know, a part of the value of doing this work in general, and I don't care what organization, you know, you work with, is the ability to have the breadth of point of view in the space to develop. And I think, you know, most definitely, you know, there can be, you know, different points of view about, you know, organizational leanings or even personal leanings. But the beauty in doing work like this, if, you know, a mutual space is set, is that folks from all points of view, all classes, ethnicities, can come and engage in the work of the story, mm-hmm. right? And even, because when I say that, I mean the, like, story as, like, you know, what's your personal narrative?
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Like, we've done work where, you know, people from, you know, that were Oregonians, folks who had, who were conservative, or folks who were liberal-leaning, or folks who didn't have any of that, you know, kind of point of view came into space and just started telling their particular stories.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
I think the power of what's heard as much as what's told, you know, is the thing that becomes, you know, really, you know, relevant, really the thing that we need to kind of honor and hear as we move forward just in living life. And to me, you know, that, just to get even, you know, you know, deep in as an artist, right? That's the reason why, you know, we have storytelling, right? It allows us to bind understanding so we can move as people. Doesn't mean that you don't have your own grouping. It means within your grouping, you can connect to other folks and, you know, in a humane way. So I think, you know, that that's the kind of work most definitely that is offered in DIRT. But, you know,
That's right. We're
not to get on that soapbox at all, but, you know, but that's the kind of work that I think we're continuing to attempt to develop. Hey, folks out there, that question still stands. What do you need? What do you think is the value of storytelling in terms of, like, narratives and space and points of view between people? I want to hear, I would love to hear, you know, a point of view on that, you know, as we continue this conversation. But we talk about this idea of personal legacy and identity and memory in DIRT in a particular way that I'd love to talk about, you know, as we continue. And, you know, because we throw these terms around, and what do they really mean? I mean, the reason why we started, you know, and built this piece is that, you know, it allowed us to connect to the work that was on stage, and hopefully that those works and the themes of those works, you know, had resonance to people. But what is it to have a personal legacy? You know, what is it to, like, you know, see how that plays a part in, you know, your everyday life, you know, how you connect with your society or your family? I would love to continue that conversation and see what you think. When you think about legacy, you know, what is it, you know, that you come up with? And what did you bring into the developmental process of DIRT? And we'll get into that when we return. And we're talking about personal legacy and participatory theater at OSF and beyond. So stay tuned. We're back with the final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Robert Goodwin hosting. Our guest is Amritha Ramanan, and we're talking about developing art as a means of community and public discourse. Take them into the DIRT and immersion at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival seeks to do just that. You're welcome to join this conversation. Call us at 800-838-3760 or email comments and questions to jx@jeffnet.org. Quickly, I should do this before I let it pass. Take Them into the DIRT is October 8th, and it has three engagements, 12 noon, 3 o'clock p.m., and 7 p.m., and the box office number at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival is 800-219-8161. There is limited availability, and I haven't looked at the ticket numbers, so you might want to call and see what's what. We were talking about personal definitions of legacy and how, when what your particular one is and how you informed the process. And we should probably give context to the shows that we were pulling from this year's OSF season deal a lot with personal and familial legacy and deal with identity and identity development via story. So when we were building this participatory theater piece, we started really looking at those issues using those themes. So, you know, how did you inform the process from your point of view of legacy?
Yeah, you know, I know we have a limitation of time, so I'm not going to go into the full, you know, there, I could talk for hours about this, but you know, in my attempt to synthesize, this has been a really interesting year for me in terms of, I dramaturged, you know, Henry IV parts 1 and 2, which, as Rob said, you know, those were pieces that definitely dealt with legacy, both in what legacy one inherits, that's unexpected. This idea of Prince Hal actually now taking on a legacy that was not destined at birth and what that means. And then the personal movement that one has in the exploration of that legacy. So there was the combination of that.
Unison, too.
Unison definitely has that. The work we were exploring in Unison around legacy that deals very specifically with a poet who passes, an apprentice that inherits the poet's words, and then how she finds her journey of legacy through art. Off the Rails is very connected to personal legacy and cultural legacy in alignment with the devastation that happened with the Indian boarding schools and the reclaiming of space for Native populations in that area. So all four of these shows, legacy was such a ripe thematic resonance. And then for me personally, I actually went through a big year where, you know, my mother passed away, and that, you know, that brought up all of these ideas of legacy for me. And so with that, you know, what comes to mind is with personal legacy, this dialectic that I think is very present in the Henrys and Unison and even Off the Rails regarding what's the legacy that you inherit and what is the legacy that you you desire to make your own in a way. How do you create legacy while also recognizing that legacy is something that is given to you through family, through, you know, culture, through ancestors, through elders? What's that process? And I think that's really ripe in what we're doing with, you know, Take Them Into the Dirt, just this idea of, you know, participants being able to explore their personal legacy while seeing different images and different moments that deal with societal and cultural legacy. So that duality, I think, is really interesting. And So yeah, it's a big question for me, and it's something that I often find really hard to define, but I often find myself reflecting on, you know, right. A thing where I come from a family where the idea of legacy was very, very present. You know, my parents both immigrated to the United States from India and often talk about, you know, the legacy of our family in India and then the legacy we're creating in the United States and what that means. And so it was something that even as a child, I constantly heard that. I heard the word legacy, even before I really knew what it meant. And I don't know if I know what it means now, but I do think that understanding legacy is a very personal journey, I feel. But I think it is informed by so many different facets of our lives. And I feel like how we manage expectations with legacy is a big question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that was one of the things that we were really focused on exploring out, as you mentioned, you know, those four shows on the OSF season deal a lot with, you know, different facets of legacy and what it means to explore and deal with, you know, what, you know, you're given as, you know, from a familial standpoint, mm-hmm. and your own idea of legacy. I think I as well came from a family where, you know, what your personal legacy was very important, mm-hmm. you know, to kind of establish. And I think that was very interesting, like, you know, for me to kind of consider. And it had to do with, like, what my, you know, forebears had done, like, mm-hmm. what my grandfather's legacy was, you know, and how he, you know, inserted into the world, how my parents took that and moved it forward, and what was going to be mine, and what was going to be my next piece. And I think sometimes, especially in non-Western traditions, that tends to be something that is very present and how they construct, you know, their social systems. So as we were looking at, you know, indigenous cultures, you know, here in the Americas and beyond, to kind of explore, you know, those, you know, social systems, those, you know, cosmologies and spiritual systems, it was very, very, you know, present. Whereas, like, you know, maybe in our, you know, good old, you know, American way of operating, we may not necessarily think of that on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really interesting. Like, you know, you come from, you know, an Indian background, and that was a part of your culture. Me as an African-American person with, you know, with definite roots, you know, to, you know, West Africa in my rearing, you know, that was a part of the way I was kind of, you know, reared and oriented. But, mm-hmm. you know, I wonder, again, as I throw this back out here again, audience, what is your idea of, like, personal legacy, and how did it manifest? And so I think what's interesting about Into the Dirt, Take Them Into the Dirt, is that we, regardless of your rearing or ethnicity, you can come through and kind of explore, you know, what legacy means to you, and then what you're going to do with your idea. You know, reconcile what it might have been in the past, use what you've, you know, learned in past and present, but then most importantly, what are you going to do from this point forward?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, that's an important, you know, thing, especially now,
mm-hmm.
you know, when we're kind of, as a society, being asked to kind of decide what our personal and, you know, national legacies are going to be.
Mm-hmm. And something that I think with that is so interesting is that, and I definitely feel like this is so present for so many cultures, particularly, you know, cultures of color, this idea of, you know, the attempted erasure of legacy, this idea of what it means to have been part of systems where there was an attempt to just take that away. I mean, I know coming from India, both my parents grew up in South India, you know, my grandparents and, you know, and generations beyond that often talk about what it meant to actually have British rule in India and the, you know, literal censorship of, you know, certain practices that were indigenous to that country and what it means to then reclaim. So to me, that really speaks to, you know, this attempt of, you know, erasure with legacy that's so present and, you know, in Off the Rails as we look at that. And so, you know, just wanted to name that. I think, you know, part of this exploration has been so interesting in what it means to actually go through, you know, a circumstance where there's been an attempted erasure. And how one reclaims that, because, you know, we have a resilience, we have families that have been able to fight through that. And so it's that's meaningful. That's really meaningful.
Most definitely. Yeah. Kippy from Talent has a comment. You're on the air, Kippy. Hello? Kippy?
From Ashfield, Massachusetts to Ashland.
Kippy, I'm sorry. I didn't hear the first part of your comment. Can you say the comment again? I'm sorry.
I am also someone who moved from Ashfield, Massachusetts to Ashland, Oregon. And I'm also someone who is an audience participatory theater artist. And I just wanted, unfortunately, I couldn't listen to the whole show, but I wanted to say that I felt like the comments that the double-edged theater, that they revitalized Ashfield, Massachusetts, and that they are a part of their survival, doesn't recognize the legacy of the artistic community in Ashfield and Western Massachusetts, that it is not so much an isolated community, that it is very integrated in the arts all over New England. And I just felt like it wasn't honoring the arts that already existed there. And I think that probably as an audience participatory improvisational theater artist, I just feel that I really needed to say that we need to honor the communities that we are in.
Thanks for your comment.
Yeah, thank you. Kippy, there's so few of us that come from Ashfield to Ashland, so I'm excited to know you now. That's great. And I really appreciate what you said. I mean, I think that I was speaking very much from my work with Double Edge and what I experienced that Double Edge has done within its, you know, 22 years in Ashfield. But you're absolutely right that within Western Massachusetts, there is a long legacy of a thriving artistic community. So my words were really to share, you know, what I had experienced from community members in Ashfield and what they had spoken to in that response when I asked them about what the theater meant to them. But you're right that that is a cross-section, that is a very specific narrative. So thank you for acknowledging that we should not discount the artistic legacy that's in that area.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's always integrative, right? I think that's the point. And the more that we can get integrative and unite communities, regardless of their points of view or aesthetic or, you know, ability to do the work, the better. I think that was kind of the where we were headed with that. And in some of the conversation points is, hey, how do you bring what you do, you know, to the table? And how do you, you know, who have been here, elders, you know, bring what has been done to the table? And then where do we go from here? And I think, you know, most definitely that's the work that we're trying to do in the community, you know, as art practitioners, but even broader as people who are trying to get, you know, hopefully some common ground. Again, you know, differences, you know, notwithstanding, or differences included. So yeah, that's good to kind of factor in. I'm interested though too, in also as we, you know, kind of, you know, are heading the final turn in this conversation, you know, what do you think, you know, in, you know, your first year, you know, here in Ashland, is a kind of a point that of connection, you know, to arts communities, and maybe that's setting you up a little bit because you might not have enough, you know, experience to kind of inform that. But you know, to you know, Kippy's point, as well as, you know, other folks that you've probably heard, there's a need to kind of get a base where we can do the work in collaboration and in community in a particular way. It could be said that, you know, projects like, you know, Into the Dirt can do that, but, you know, what's the downbeat in terms of getting, you know, those spaces and making a decision to work that way?
You know, it's a great question, and I will openly say, you know, having been here for a year and immersing myself in the work of, you know, OSF, I don't know if I can respond to that question fully yet. You know, I think it's still an exploration. It's a discovery, trying to figure out really, you know, what the local community is here, which takes time. So I am excited, especially with Into the Dirt, where I do feel like that's an opportunity. Even the way in which we've been generating it has been an opportunity to have a deeper engagement with the community outside of, you know, the artists that exclusively work at OSF. So it is a question. Still a big question for me.
It's a rough question for me too, and I have unlimited time here myself, is, you know, being able to kind of mine how to do the work in a particular way and get, you know, folks from all points of view in to kind of develop and move in a particular way. In the last, like, you know, 20 seconds that we have, what do you want people to get from, you know, Into the Dirt?
This might sound so annoying, but I feel like people should come, know that you're not probably going to get a lot of information beforehand in terms of what it is, what the story is, you know, and just, I would say, come and be present. And I can't guarantee how you will feel about it. That is so subjective in terms of your own opinion of what the experience is like. But come and be present. And that, to me, is the most important thing. It's an experiment for us. You know, it's a wild experiment into how do we participate collectively in these questions around legacy and memory. So, you know, dive in with us.
Right on. I'm Ritha Ramanan. Thanks for joining us.